sunshine, goodbye rain. She's wearing my school ring on her chain. She's my steady, I'm her man. I'm gonna love her all I can.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams. And Sandy, you brought in the music. Why?
Yeah, because it's the stuff that knit us together. That one, Happy Days, is particularly a keenly interest of people from Milwaukee and Wisconsin, because the show was about Milwaukee. But it was stuff that all of America watched at the same time.
All right, let's bring this text in before we go to the phone lines. Trump threatened to suspend the Constitution and Bill of Rights. The one thing that separates us from the banana republic, and this is Steve, he also puts Russia's interests over the United States' interests and wants to weaken NATO. He admires other dictators. This next election is far from a normal election. Two choices, the choices between authoritarianism versus democracy and the rule of law. And so, you know, if you're just joining us, you know, we've had a pretty robust conversation before we had the break about Donald Trump and some of the things that were going on, and had some really great callers. We're going to continue the conversation with the people who are on the line now. Let's go to Lynn from Oconomowoc. Lynn, thank you very much. You say what?
And thank you, Earl, for taking my call. For Julie, I just have two things to say to her. First, can you live without Social Security? Maybe you can. The second thing is Medicare. It was started in 1965, and I remember when my grandmother was so thankful for having Medicare so she could go to the doctors. And if you have no pre-existing diseases, like you don't have arthritis, maybe you don't need Medicare, Julie. But for Julie and all the other Republicans, if you need Medicare and Social Security, back Biden. Thank you.
Hey, Lynn, thank you very much for the call. Let's go back to Mike from Kenosha. Mike, you say what?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call and giving me an opportunity. Yeah. And I love it, by the way, and I love the exchange, good thoughts and good conversation with all people. But Steve's text kind of touched on my point. You know, we are in a unique time. The reason why many of us are aggressive against Trump when we have the opportunity is because in our minds, he deserves it. He is the only candidate that has run for office that has talked about suspension of the U.S. Constitution. That's all you need to, the further you need to go with me, right? The prerequisite for every single public service job that I know of is you have to take an oath to the Constitution. And we've seen time and time again that they just don't recognize it. You know, there's plenty of things that the Democrats have gotten wrong. My specific problem back in the 90s was I was against global initiative and WTO and NAFTA. And that was Clinton's deal, right? So as a true independent, I'm just calling a duck here. We're seeing a very unique candidate. I've never seen anything like this in my 65 years on this earth. And my last thing is, when you hear the testimony of others, when you hear the opinions of others like General Kelly and Rex Tillerson and Michael Cohen, who spent time, he went to jail for exactly what Trump is going on trial for right now, right? You know, so yeah, it's a unique time. Unfortunately, we have to deal with this. And unfortunately, Donald Trump, who is a camera hawk, there's not a camera or the attention, you know, that he just loves this stuff. You know, it's a unique time, and we just have to deal with it accordingly.
Hey, Mike.
Last thing real quick is equal justice. You know, if Michael Cohen has to do the time for the crime, why doesn't Trump? Trump needs that.
Well said, Mike. You want to respond, Sandy? Okay, let's go back to Julie. Hey, Julie, okay, you say what?
Well, once again, the Republicans don't want to do away with Social Security and Medicaid and Medicare. We all need that. The only way to sustain it is through taxes. We all pay into it. When 47% of the country does not pay any taxes, it's going to suffer. Somebody has to pay for it. We can't just keep printing money. People don't, this is what bothers, I don't know if every Republican, but it's, the country does have to function. The government does have to run like a business in a lot of ways. It, and stop wasting money and put it where we need it. And no, I would like to know. I would like to know the facts on how Republicans don't need or want Social Security. That I would like to know that.
So hang on, Julie. Let Sandy respond.
So Julie, let me just ask you a couple of questions. You recited a fact. You said 47% of Americans don't pay taxes. First of all, I don't think that's accurate. Number one. Number two, if they don't pay taxes, it's because they don't make money, or they don't pay taxes because they make so much money that they're able to skirt around the tax laws. Do you think that the median family in America is not paying enough taxes?
Nope.
Okay. Do you think the people who earn less money than the median family in America pays too few taxes?
Nope.
Okay. Well, that's. Right now, we've dealt with 50% of Americans, because 50% of Americans live at or below the median income in America. So the recitation of a fact, which I'm not sure is accurate, that 47% of Americans aren't paying taxes, doesn't make sense. No. And two, if we're going to run the country like a business, should we also be dealing with the revenue side? Should we be cutting down the amount of revenue we take into our coffers while at the same time we're experiencing deficits?
Well, that's a good question. But it's what the tax thing that you 47% is accurate.
Well, 47% don't pay what? They don't pay FICA? Do they not pay FICA taxes? Or do what taxes are 47% of the Americas not Americans?
They don't pay federal taxes.
Okay.
They don't pay federal taxes.
Okay,
so
but then
why can't we come? This is a problem that here's why I call in. All of these topics that we talk about, I truly believe 95% of us could meet in the middle and agree on almost everything, come up with solutions where we both compromise and meet in the middle. But I don't know why it's so hard to do that.
Hey Julie, well, I think it's because we talk about things that apparently people believe are facts, and sometimes what they're hearing and saying are facts aren't in fact facts. And then the other thing is Sandy mentioned, and when you talked about revenue, and clearly the problem with the lack of revenue continues to be the wealthy not paying their fair share. That's the point Sandy was alluding to. That's part of the fix. That's an easy part of the fix, but we can't seem to get that done. Sandy?
But I do agree that if we were able to talk facts and we just sat and talked about and understood problems and then talked about solutions, that yes, a substantial part of America could sit at the table and we could probably reach agreement. And the problem is we don't. I mean, I think it is an exaggeration to say that Republicans want to do away with Social Security. That isn't something they talk about. They do talk about tinkering with it, and they do talk about reducing eligibility for it in some manner. But, we also have to talk about revenue. We have to talk about increasing revenue where we need to increase revenue. And we need to talk about the tax burden. We need to talk about the architecture of our economy. The fact that the median family in America earns $74,000 a year and lives paycheck to paycheck isn't conducive to talking about increasing the tax burden that they pay. The fact is that the average tax burden of that family is over $14,000 a year.
So let's go to Tim from Eau Claire. Hey, good morning to you, Tim. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yeah, thanks for taking the call.
Thank you for calling.
Well, I guess I don't understand where Julie's coming from here. She says they don't want to get rid of Social Security. Representative Mike Lee is on tape and video saying that he wants to eliminate Social Security. So I guess maybe she's not watching the right programs. That's all I got to say.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Rita from La Crosse. Good morning to you, Rita. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for listening.
I have a comment. I'd like to know why we work all our lives. We get a pension, Social Security, and they're still taxing us when we're retired. That doesn't seem to be right either, that they tax our Social Security and our pensions.
Well, I'm with you. I'm one of those people, you know, who's getting his pension tax as well as Social Security. But as Sandy stated, Sandy, you said again, revenue.
Well,
they
yeah.
They need the revenue.
Yeah, I mean, we need to address the revenue side. We need to figure out the fair way to tax ourselves so that we have a sustainable budget that meets the needs of Tom, Dick, and Mary, and Tom, Dick, and Mary when they're young, and Tom, Dick, and Mary when they're old, and Tom, Dick, and Mary when they're sick. You know, all of those things need to be addressed, and I fear that we don't spend enough time looking at things through that vantage point. An earlier caller, I said, well, what you have to do is decide what vantage point, whose eyes you're going to look at the public policy through. And when you decide that helps you understand maybe where you want to go politically.
Well, you know, Rita's position, again, was don't do it on those of us who can at least afford to do it, our pensions and our Social Security. 844-967-2789. Hang on the phone lines. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. Welcome back to a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas. That's in them. Sandy, why are we playing these for the people who are just joining us?
Well, just because it's the stuff that that caused us all to have a similar experience and to understand we were all in the same boat together and we enjoyed it. You know, we all watch these things at the same time in unity.
You know what began our conversation that's been ongoing and the phone lines are completely packed is a conversation, Sandy, that you and I were having for those who are just joining us about, you know, we talked a little bit about Donald Trump. We talked and so, you know, we didn't even get to the second part of the story that we wanted to talk about with Donald Trump. And this was about Donald Trump and his Truth Social. And so what it does show as the phone lines are packed, again, is the differences that people have on one side and the other. And we're fortunate to have both sides having this conversation on our airways. Let's go right back to the phone lines, and let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what, sir?
Good morning. The lady who was just on before was talking about Social Security and everyone being taxed and everything. Well, we're at record unemployment. Therefore, everyone is paying into FICA tax. Everyone is paying into Social Security now. Why don't we discuss why Congress has pilfered, borrowed, whatever, $2.9 trillion. This is a simple Google search, because that's what I just did, from Social Security. They also, the Republicans, talk about privatizing Social Security and investing it in, like, the stock market. Well, just imagine if we would have just all invested in the Truth Social right now. Where would your money be? You know, it's like, it's not that hard, people. Social Security is something we all pay into. Congress took money from it, $2.9 trillion. That has to be replaced. We would not be anywhere near this mess. Also, Ron Johnson also came right out and said that we need to either get rid of Social Security or severely reduce it, which people are just barely getting by now on Social Security, who have to rely on it, who don't have pensions. That is their pension. And that's about what I would like to say.
Well,
about
thank you
that.
Very
also,
much.
I'd like to talk about,
oh, go ahead.
Go on. Sorry.
No,
thank
no,
you.
Okay.
Oh, I was going to say, I just wanted to laugh about Trump in trial there, and that his lawyers had to give him a picture book to buy his time while he's sitting there.
Hey, come on, man. Let's go to where are we at? Is it Doug from Madison? Let's go to Doug from Madison. Good morning to you, Doug. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Hey, good morning, and thanks for taking my call. So I just kind of wanted to put a finer point on the whole Social Security and Medicare issue and, you know, taxation. And, you know, you talked to the previous caller mentioned, you know, that everybody's paying into it. And it's pretty much the case. I mean, everybody who is an employee pays into pays for Medicare and Social Security at a percentage of their income, regardless of what their income is. So, you know, for Julie to say that 47% aren't paying federal taxes, well, you know, last I checked, Social Security and Medicare are federal taxes, and every employee is paying into that. So, anyway, I wanted to put a finer point on that, and also point out that the people that aren't paying at the same rate are those that are making, I'm not sure what the current level is right now, but something like $150,000, and above are not paying into Social Security. So
yeah, I was going to point that out, that once you reach a threshold, you don't pay any FICA tax on income above that threshold level. And I don't know what that number is now. I
thought it was 140 some thousand, but you're close. You're close, Doug.
Well,
150, we'll accept that. Well, go ahead.
Whatever it is. I had 409,
right.
But the what they need to do is remove that. If they remove the threshold number and people pay FICA tax on all of their income, it would have a tremendously beneficial effect on the Social Security account.
So, Sandy, why do you think they don't do it?
I think they don't do it for the reason that other people who would call in and talk about money and politics, it ends up that people with more income have more political clout. And they get, you know, I think that if the wealthy didn't have as much political clout, we wouldn't have so many super wealthy people paying 14% of their income as tax, or 12% or 9%. You know, the fact is that the wealthier you are, the lower the percentage of your income you end up paying in taxes, because you work your way around the taxes. Much like Trump mentioned, you know, only a fool pays taxes if they don't need to. You know, he thought that was a patriotic expression. The fact is that we all ought to be happy, particularly the wealthy, the ones who are benefiting from our society and our economy so much, ought to be happy to pay their fair share of the taxes.
Did we go to Robert from McClare? Let's go to Robert from McClare. Good morning to you, Robert. Thank you very much for listening. You say what?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you guys for having this program. I've been listening to Civic Media. I wish there was more programming, you know, that followed this format. Lots of good conversation, lots of good points. Couldn't agree more about the FICA. The FICA observations that your guest was just making. And I just hope to see Civic Media continue to expand. It's great hearing people, you know, who tend to maybe, you know, who have voted for Trump or lean right, call in and hearing their opinions on things. And I just really enjoy the civic media stuff. I think you guys are doing a really great job, and just keep it up. And I hope civic media continues to expand. Thanks a lot.
Hey, Robert, that's a great commercial. we'll make sure, hey, Calvin, you got that? Make sure you bookmark that. But, you know, I really do truly, as I said before, this opportunity that all of us have. You know, a year and a half ago, there was no civic media. And you know, the impact that it's having across the state is a testament, and based on all the callers that we've had today, Sandy, from all over the state, that people are listening.
Well, and I think from my standpoint, I'm interested in toning down partisanship and talking more about policy and hearing people's opinions and listening. Because, you know, wisdom is derived from listening, not from talking. And we all have to do a lot more listening. I think civic media is trying to be a platform for people to listen to one another. And that's the most positive thing we can do.
So I've been struggling with that. My wife of 43 years tells me that every day.
You need to be better at listening?
So you don't have that problem. But anyway, welcome back. 844-967-2789. The phone lines are open. We'll come to you on the other side. It's a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. My co-host Sandy Williams and you. To the Earl Ingram. How did you know I would know if you said Hot Lips? What are you implying?
Well, that's it's the most memorable scene from the show.
Welcome back to a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. That's my co-host Sandy Williams. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. And we've had a very, you know, involved conversation over the last hour or so. With listeners who have weighed in on, you know, the differences that we talk about every day with average Americans who are either on one side of the equation, Sandy, or the other, as we lead up to this very impactful and important presidential election. The music that Sandy has chosen and you've been listening to all morning is predicated on what, Sandy?
Well, I tried to pick shows that we all watched together back in the days when we didn't have streaming and we couldn't pick our own everything based on our own individual interests and choice. So we all listened to Walter Cronkite and Dan Rather. We all watched these TV shows together. And it was a unifying thread that I'm afraid is missing now from us societally. And maybe it's a factor in how it is that we feel so different from one another.
All right, with that having been said, 844-967-2789, you can join in the conversation. Let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. Your thoughts?
Good morning, Earl. I can't believe what you just texted me, but we'll talk about that in a different time. Really quickly, in regards with the federal debt and what have you, so the current revenue that's brought into the U.S. government is about $4.8 trillion, which is significant. I mean, it's the largest it's ever been. And I've heard, you know, what the idea with Social Security, we should just lift the whole cap on that, what have you. The problem is, if you go again to the U.S. debt clock and you look at the amount of people that are employed today versus 2000, it's like only 700,000 people more. Unfortunately, there's a lot more retirees, and there is an older workforce. And so we're going to put more of the burden on younger people with increased taxes and what have you. And I just have to say that the government always cries poor with, we don't have enough revenue. Well, it either does one of two things, either taxes more or borrows money. Those are the two things the government can do. And it's been doing it at a substantial rate, which is way greater than anything, you know, that's been.
You mean borrowing money. You mean borrowing money, not taxing more.
Yes.
Okay, so go ahead.
Well, yes. But keep in mind, when I say taxing more, you look at, we tax ourselves individually more on a local level with referendums, sales taxes, and other things. And that does eat into your paycheck. And so maybe at the federal level, it did tick down a little bit, but it's certainly been offset with all the other taxes that we pay for everything else. And so
when we tax ourselves, we aren't giving the money away. We're investing the money as we choose, like, just as you said, locally in referendums. So, for instance, school districts have referendums to support their capital expenditures. People can disagree, but it's a vote. And if the majority prevails, the majority has made a decision about how they want to invest local tax dollars. So I think most people would say that the more local the tax, the more likely it is that the tax reflects the people's desires and the people's priorities. And the fact is that it's at the federal level where we've reduced our taxation, and at the local levels, and some of that local taxation is the result of the federal reduction in taxes, because the sharing of federal revenue with the states has diminished.
So let me respond to that, Sandy. So when you say the federal has an increased tax, yes, they have. They've done it by increasing tariffs on all foreign goods.
That tax is a tax on the American public. It's not declared, that was sold to the American public as a tax on the foreign entities on whom the tariff was being levied. But the fact is that when economists and statisticians have looked at it, it ends up that the price of goods has increased, and the tariff is paid primarily by the American public that buys the good. And the tax is not limited just to the tariff products, because the price of the American manufactured products that are now protected by the tariff goes up, and the American public pays a higher price for everything that is subject to the tariff, whether it's manufactured in China or whether it's manufactured in the United States. And so, yes, it's a tax, but it's not sold to the American public as a tax.
But I don't disagree at all what you just said there. What I'm saying is that now we're talking, I know that there's some talk about tripling the tax on Chinese products now. Well, China obviously is our biggest trading partner with goods.
So, David.
I think currently Biden has talked about increasing the tariff on steel, on Chinese-made steel, but it's candidate Trump that's talking about tripling the tariff on Chinese products, putting a preemptive tariff across the board on all Chinese products, and putting 100% tariff on Chinese electric motor vehicles, etc. So, there is talk about it, but most of that talk, I think, is coming from the right.
So, David, I think that what having this conversation is not what most Americans are saying. They're saying that the revenue needs to come from corporations and the wealthy directly, with having their taxes raised, because under Bush, under Trump, under both Bushes, they cut taxes on the wealthy. And so that has been one of the main reasons that we've accrued the kind of debt that we've accrued in this nation. that they haven't paid their fair share. So we can talk about these other things, these ancillary things, but directly revenue needs to be raised from people who are making truckloads of money and not paying their fair share.
Again, you know, we have $4.8 trillion coming in already. So how much more revenue do you want to raise? Do you want $7 trillion a year?
Whatever it takes.
I mean,
whatever it takes.
I mean, but that's what creates, okay, so when the government keeps borrowing money, which it is.
They don't have to borrow the money, David, if they bring, Sandy keeps saying revenue.
Well, and actually, if you look at the periods of spiking of our national debt, it has spiked periodically when we've carried out substantial foreign military and expensive foreign military adventures and not raised taxes, but lower taxes. In fact, during the Bush administration, when we were involved substantially in Iraq and Afghanistan, we reduced taxes and increased the deficit materially. We reduced taxes during the Trump period when we were in a boom economy and increased our deficit during a boom economy. And so, the fact is that the absolute number, $4.8 trillion, is a very huge number, but everything's relative. It's relative to the GDP, and it's relative to the expenditures of our budget. It's relative to how we decide to spend our money. And so I'm not sure you and I are so far apart here, except that I think using the number $4.8 trillion is saying we're taxing enough because the number's big is disingenuous.
So let's be honest about this, Sandy. We do know that the military budget is going to swell because of all the munitions that we've been giving to Ukraine, giving to Israel, and now we've got to replace those things because our cupboards are bare. So where are we going to get that, Sandy? There's going to be less revenue coming in, but the military budget has to be increased.
Well, I think that I have to go back and look, but I think the military budget at the turn of the century was about $330 billion, and now it's in the neighborhood of $1 trillion. And the military likes to look at the budget and say, well, for the last 3 years, we haven't kept up with inflation and the increase in the budget. But what they ignore is the ballooning of that budget since the turn of the last century. Turn of this century. And the military budget's a huge part of the budget. We can't ignore it when we talk about expenditures and revenue.
And deficits.
And so I just think what we need to do as America is get back to the dinner table and have a standard budget discussion about what we can spend based on what we can earn. And we have to talk about what we can earn as well.
Well, and Sandy, the thing is, families have to do that. You're saying that the government's got to do it as well.
Well, politicians have to be more disciplined. We've lacked fiscal discipline in Washington for a long time, and I would argue that part of that lack of fiscal discipline is what has permitted us to wage wars without raising taxes and to reduce taxes in the face of deficits.
Let's go back to Tom from L.A. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, first, guys, the taxation of Social Security began with Ronald Reagan in 1983. So anybody that wants to blame Social Security being taxed, there's your guy. Second, I think Gary is a better business person than Trump, and I would actually vote for Gary over Trump. As far as Julie goes, Julie, I was just giving you suggestions to listen to Jane Elliott on the racism and the white privilege that we all have. I'm sorry that you took that as me talking down to you. I did not mean that.
Well, so let's try not to respond to other callers, Tom, because it just leads to people responding back. But you're welcome to, as always, to point out other things. I would just say that, the interaction of responding back to what other callers say, we kind of want to cut back on that. But go ahead.
But Earl, if someone says my name, I should have the right to actually be able to.
I agree. It's why we're gonna do everything we can to try to prevent that. you know, that we stop the back and forth between callers. But
I think extremes on both sides are not good. But again, I would encourage any Republican to call in and say, and Sandy, you say it's about fear. This fear is real about the social safety net. There's something called Medicare Advantage, which is privatized Medicare and is actually hurting Medicare. So this is not like a dream out there. This is actually something that is happening. The Republicans believe in privatization. The Democrats believe in we the people and believe in more of a public type of situation where we're not making a profit, but it's actually for the public good. There is a difference between these two groups of people.
I ideals.
Know who they talk about when they talk about the far left, because I don't know who the far left is. All I want is a strong social safety net. I don't want for government to take over anything. I just want a strong social safety net so child care is taken care of and college is taken care of by we the people. And, you know, those things are, and Medicare or health care is taken care of by we the people.
Hey Tom, you know what? You know what? Nobody can argue. I don't think people can argue with what you just articulated. It is the difference between the two sides. Thank you very much for the call, as always. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams and you.
Everything you've got, taking a break from all your worries, sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? All those nights when you've got no lights, the check is in the mail, and your little angel hung the cat up by its tail, and your third fiancé didn't show. Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came.
All right, what a way to end the show, Sandy.
Cheers.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. We just had a great conversation this entire show. Let's go back to the phone lines and Mary from Wauwatosa. Hey, good morning to you, Mary. You don't usually get involved in politics. So,
good morning, Earl and Sandy.
Yes,
however,
ma'am.
I gravitate toward positive and solutions of problems. And the problem I'm hearing and addressing is never-ending political wrangling. And I'd like to suggest to people who are sincerely, you know, wanting to resolve this and really talk with the other party is to check out braverangels.org. You know, I don't know about the name of this, although, you know, because it sounds like it has political, or I mean, excuse me, religious connotations, but the name it draws from Abraham Lincoln's first inaugural address in 1861, where he appealed to the better angels of our nature. And so people who really, really, really want to, you know, talk with the other side and work towards solutions, please check out braverangels.org. You know, it's a national organization. Wisconsin is involved in that, and it's a way forward. If you have any knowledge of this, please let me know.
Hey,
I'll listen off the air.
Hey, Mary, you know, you, if we had more Marys in the world, you know, it would be a much nicer world. It's unfortunate that we don't have. You know, Sandy, going back to the thing that you kind of put together for the show and the show itself, it kind of worked out that way.
Well, it did. My hope was that it would set a tone for people listening to feel, number one, that they were welcome to call, and number two, that it would maybe reduce the stridency of our conversation, and we just get to be talking about things rather than talking about one another. Because, you know, I do think that part of the societal norms that we had in the 70s was, and 60s and 50s, was because we were all experiencing a much greater shared experience. We all understood that we were living and doing much the same thing as everyone else. So when we sat in front of the TV, we all knew that we were all watching I Love Lucy. You know, that's what it was Tuesday night at 8:30. If you're going to watch TV, that's what you watched. And we all watched Ed Sullivan, and we all watched Cheers, and we all watched The Jeffersons, and All in the Family.
Yeah, you know, Dragnet. Sandy.
Joe Friday.
Yeah. You know, if nothing else, what the show exemplified this morning is that even though there were people on the different sides, they were able to really kind of communicate, right?
Well, I thought we were all respectful. You know, I think the main thing we need is just to be respectful of one another and not avoid name calling, which we don't always avoid with this kind of conversation. But today we did. And maybe we can set the tone. Maybe this is what we can do.
And I'd also say that what I realized more than anything else were all the different women that chimed in. Normally when we have a discussion like this, Sandy, it's all men. And we had as many women call in today and weigh in on this political subject as I've ever had. And you and I have ever had, and so we're honored by that. But it does show that women are as engaged in what's happening now as men are.
Maybe more.
Yeah, maybe more.
Maybe more. And, you know, some of the things that are happening in politics have a great deal of impact on women, much more so than it has a theoretical conceptual impact on men and a real impact on women. And I think that lesson is, and that object is become much more pronounced in today's world.
So you think about it. The conversation did not include abortion. And so a lot of times they tie women into solely that debate, the debate on abortion. But clearly women are concerned because of families, right? And what you've constantly talked about,
I think we're all concerned. I just think that the more people can feel activated and effective in their and they feel like they can have an impact, I think they're more likely to be involved. And I think that women, the same is true of people who live in the city, voting. There's a worry about people being depressed about the impact of their vote and therefore whether or not they vote. It's something that happened in gerrymandered district. It's also something that might be happening in the cities where people don't feel like their life is impacted sufficiently by their vote. So maybe why vote?
And more than anything else, what today's show represented, Sandy, was the powerful impact that civic media has garnered already. To be able to have people from across the state have a conversation and a dialogue with others from across the state that, you know, they would never have a chance to even hear from, does show the power of what civic media has put together and is cultivating and the impact that it's going to have down the road.
Yeah, I mean, I think Wisconsin is the metropolitan area that we're dealing with, and that's a good thing. You know, I think that that if all of Wisconsin begins to identify with one another, and we begin to discuss with one another what we need to do going forward, that's going to be a fantastic outcome.
Yeah. So, look, thank everybody who made the show go. As always, we could not do this without you, the listening audience. Tell somebody else. In all those areas, tell somebody else about us. Tell somebody else about the Earl Ingram Show, and especially the Earl Ingram Show and Sandy Williams on Tuesdays and Fridays. Calvin, thank you. Thank everybody who made the show go. Enjoy a great weekend. Up next, Matt Nair on air.
And go Bucks.
And yeah. And Greg Bach. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday.